so glad to see all the moms with all their kids in the house this morning. We are thankful to have you, and it's a special day and an important day, because that is how God ordained life on this planet to be. He made man, and he said, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet. And he made woman. And everybody since Adam has had a mother. Everybody. None of us got here. None of us would be here without mom. That in and of itself demands honor and respect and love. But it goes so much farther than that. Because not only does mom give birth to us, she makes sure that we stay alive for a long time. How long is it until you can actually take care of yourself? A long time. And mom does all that work. Right? All of that work. All that making sure that this thing doesn't starve to death and that it gets cleaned up after it makes messes, and they make messes. Right? And when it cries, you hold them. I'm using it because I'm talking about boys and girls. And when they're tired, you put them to sleep and you tuck them in. And when they're scared, you wrap them up in your arms and say, it's okay. And what a tremendous picture you are building for them of who God is. So I thought God was our Father. Well, He is. But see, it says that the two become one. And the Father and Mother combined in that picture creates a complete picture. Or a more complete picture for the child of who God is. And as they grow, they find out that if it was okay to run to dad and mom, then it's okay to run to God too. Mom, your influence is beyond measure. You know, there's power and there's influence. And I've heard it said that influence is better than power. Oftentimes. And the influence that a mother has, it never goes away. Never goes away. You never stop being mom. Doesn't matter how old that child gets, they still need you. How many of you can testify and say, yeah, I thought it was going to be over at some point, and they're still calling me. I see white hair in the room saying, yep, uh-huh. You are always needed, but more than that, you are always wanted, you are always appreciated, you are always loved. And maybe the love between a child and a mother, maybe one of the first ways where a child learns that you love someone because they loved you first. And so your role is incredibly important. So thank you. Thank you. This morning, I want to look at Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, starting with verse 38. Short passage of Scripture, familiar story. But I think it relates tremendously to mom and to what it looks like to be a mother, because there's a lot of challenges that go along with being a mother. Now, guys, we're not off the hook this morning, because this passage of Scripture absolutely applies to us too. But I think it applies so well to moms. And it's the story of Mary and Martha that most of us have probably heard before. But let's read it again. Jeremy read it earlier to open up, but let's read it again now and then go look at a few things in it. Verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he, that's Jesus, entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Very familiar story that we've probably heard preached on before, most of us. But here you have Jesus and his disciples traveling throughout the land of Israel, Jesus preaching, teaching, healing the sick, raising the dead, doing all those things that he is doing as the Son of God, both as our sacrifice and as our example. And he is just going about being the Son of God. And as he's doing that, they enter a certain village. Now, if you read other places in the Gospels, we can figure out that this was the village of Bethany, which is near Jerusalem. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Well, who is Martha? And who is Mary? Well, we find out as you read the other Gospels that this family is very near and dear to Jesus. They are some of Jesus' closest friends on this earth. They have a brother named Lazarus, which we've probably heard that name before. Lazarus and Martha and Mary are just one of those families that Jesus spends a lot of time with. And in fact, he spends his last week on earth at the home of Lazarus and Martha and Mary. So he's very close to them. And maybe this is the first time that he's gone to their house. You know, maybe this is the introduction. Maybe they see him and say, "We want to get to know this man. We want to be able to serve him and reach out to him." And so they invite him to come, all right? And Martha welcomes them in. And it says she had a sister called Mary. Now, I'm not sure about this, but I think you can almost deduct that Martha is the oldest and that Mary is the younger. It seems that way because it says that Martha welcomed them into her house. And, you know, if she's the oldest sister, that would be her responsibility to extend that invitation. And so Martha's probably the older, Mary's probably the younger. And it says that Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But it says that Martha was distracted with much serving. It says she was distracted with much serving. But now, here's the interesting part. Martha had invited Jesus into her home. She had extended hospitality. And ladies, as you well know, if you invite someone into your home, then it's your responsibility, right? To make sure that your home is inviting and that you have food for people and a place to rest and create that atmosphere of feeling at home for your guest. And you like to do that. And you feel both the desire and the obligation to do that. And so Martha's trying to do that, but her guest is not your typical guest. This is Jesus who has come into her home. And Mary is just sitting at his feet and listening to him teach. And it says Martha is distracted with much serving. Looked up that word distracted, and I just had to share the definition with you on that one. Distracted, it means to drag all around. Now, ladies, let me ask you something. In the process of being mom, do you ever have those days where you feel like you are just being dragged all around? I'll take that as a yes. Dragged every which direction. Sometimes literally, right? Mommy, go this way. right? You're in bed, you're asleep, and like, are you awake, mommy? I am now. Being dragged all around every which way. She was distracted, dragged this way and that with much serving. Martha was very concerned about doing. She was very concerned about doing this, doing that, making sure that all the T's were crossed, all the I's were dotted, and everything looked and smelled and felt just like it was supposed to. And she approached Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Let me ask you this. Moms, do you ever feel like you're all alone in all that? Like it's just me and my four and no more? There's no, you know, there's no one I can call for help, and I'm all alone. But then there's a temptation that enters in there. Because then the temptation is, poor, pitiful me. And all of a sudden, that serving that was supposed to be about others, God starts working something in our hearts because the serving wasn't as much about others as it was about me looking good. Me having it all together. Martha comes and says, don't you care? She has left me to serve all alone. And then, this one's exciting right here. I don't recommend that you ever do this, that anybody ever does this. We've all done it, I'd say. Therefore, okay, Martha says, don't you care, Jesus, that she's left me alone to serve? Therefore, Jesus, tell her to help me. When you start ordering God around, be prepared to have your hand smacked. God, do this. Don't do it. You're liable to get an answer that was not what you were expecting, which is what Martha gets. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Well, that wasn't exactly how she expected that response to start. She expected, Mary, get up and help your sister. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Worried. And literally in the Greek it means anxious. And I got curious about that, and I said, okay, well, in English, in this translation, it says worried, and in the Greek it says anxious. What's the difference? Is there a difference in those words? So I looked up those words in Webster's 1828 dictionary, and there's a big difference, actually, between worry and anxious. Worry is something that someone tries to put on you from the outside, okay, which is how it's translated here. But in the Greek, it means anxious. Anxious is something that is going on inside of you. That anxiety of what's going to happen? How's it going to work out? Oh, I don't know. You know, what's going to happen with this person? How's this situation going to play out? Anxious, anxiety. And if you remember, as we've been looking through Genesis, we said that in Genesis chapter 3, when God pronounced the curse on the earth, on man, on woman, on Satan, part of the curse for woman was that anxiousness. It's part of the curse. Which means that if we are the children of God, If we have surrendered to Jesus as Lord and Savior, the one who rose from the dead, the one who defeated the curse, guys, this applies to us too. This is not just for the ladies. If we have surrendered our lives to the one who defeated the curse and he lives in us, then anxiety, anxiousness, is not from him. It is always going to be from the enemy. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And he told us that he leaves his peace with us. And so to be anxious, at the root of it, is to look at God and say, I don't trust you. I really don't trust you. I'm going to have to bear this burden myself because I don't trust you to bear it. And I've seen over the years, I've seen ladies struggle with that. That anxiety, that anxiousness of how's this going to happen? How's my child, how's this going to work out with my child? How's this going to work out with my family? How's this going to work out in around me? And that happens, part of that is because you care. You love your family. You love your children. You love the people around you, and you want it all to work out. And that's good. But Satan ever seeks to take that love and twist it into anxiety. Instead of, Lord, I love this person. This situation is what's going on. I can't fix it. I'm going to put it at your feet and I'm going to leave it there. Please work, you work this out. Instead of going to the Lord in prayer. Remember the old hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus? All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. He is the Prince of Peace. And anxiety is not of him. And so he looks at Martha and says, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Why does he say anxious and troubled? Because I think one sets up the other. Troubled literally is the word that I'm sure everyone knows, turbid. We all know what that means. Oh, you don't either? Oh, good. I'm not the only one that had to look it up. Troubled is literally the word turbid. I'm like, okay, I need help on this one. Help, Mr. Webster. And turbid means this. In a more general sense, muddy. It is the idea of water that has been stirred up. You know? A body of water that a storm has stirred it up, somebody's come and stomped in it, and it's now cloudy and muddy and disturbed, and you cannot see clearly anymore. You are troubled, turbid. It's cloudy, it's muddy. You can't see which direction to go, and the root of that is the anxiousness, and the root of that, I will say, is the distraction with much serving. You're dragged this way and that with much serving, with much doing. Well, what is the solution? Jesus says, you're worried and troubled about many things, not just one thing, about many things. And that's how it happens, right? One thing starts clouding, the waters, one thing starts coming in and welling up with that temptation to be anxious, and then all of a sudden you're worried about everything. And it snowballs. What's the solution? Jesus says in verse 42, but one thing is needed. One thing is required. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. What did Mary choose? To sit at Jesus' feet and hear His word. And so, in this role and roller coaster of mom, what's the secret? What's the key? Sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing His word. In other words, being is the key before doing. Always. You know, I could have gone a lot of places. I could have gone to Proverbs 31 and talked about the woman of virtue, which literally means like the woman of valor, the courageous woman, and all that goes on with Proverbs 31. I could have gone to Titus 2 and talked about being a good homemaker and being a good wife and all of these different things that Titus 2 talks about. But the key in both of those passages is this. Because without this, we take Proverbs 31 or Titus 2 or other places in Scripture where it talks about women, wives, moms, and we tend to make a list out of it. If I can do these things, if I can check these things off the list, then I'm good. But that's not what God is saying. In fact, in Titus 2, it's very clear about that. It says, teach the young women to be all those things. Being has to precede doing. How's that happen? Well, if you go back, it says that Martha was distracted. She was dragged in all these directions. She's older. Maybe the cares and responsibilities of this world started to weigh a little bit more heavily on her. The reality of, well, if I don't do this, it's not going to get done. Mary, being young and what some would maybe say foolish, just lets it go and sits at Jesus' feet. But Jesus said, that's who we need to be. So what do we do? What's the key? The key is sit at Jesus' feet. In order to be that mom, that woman that God has called you to be. And guys, this counts for us too. In order to be who God has made us to be and who He has called us to be, we have to be. We have to take the time. Block it out and say, I, right here and now, in this space of time, am going to sit at Jesus' feet and hear His word every day. And if something doesn't get done in this time slot right here, it will wait. The world will go on spinning. The sun will go on rising and setting. If the dishes don't get done, if the house doesn't get cleaned, if the deadline doesn't get met, I'm going to sit at Jesus' feet. Because when we sit at the feet of the one who made us and who made it all, Then from that place of being, we take that time to just realize that God is. That's what Webster calls God a lot of times in his dictionary, the supreme being. God is the supreme being because he is. What did he tell Moses? I am who I am. This is God's identity. He is. He is. It's who he is. And everything that he does flows out of who he is. And everything that we do as his children should flow out of who we are. God is, and he is Father, and I am his child. Carmen had a song back in the 80s called Fear Not, My Child. One of my all-time favorites. So what does that look like? Well, sometimes it looks like cutting some strings so that we are not quite so dragged around all the time. It says Martha was distracted with much serving. She had a million irons in the fire. Mary was just sitting at Jesus' feet. Some of us need to pull some of the irons out, let them get cool, let them get cold, let them sit there and rust so that we have more time to sit at Jesus' feet. This culture is insane. It's insane. It pushes us, and it's from the enemy, to constantly, constantly be doing something. Constantly be looking at something, scrolling at something, hearing something, listening to something, saying something, having our hands doing something. Constantly do, have something in front of our face all the time, even when we're asleep. Right? Put music on to go to sleep. Put the TV on to go to sleep. Keep the phone on, and if it dings in the middle of the night and somebody says, oh, I just ate this at 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, we really need to know about that. Pushes us to always be doing something. And as the people of God, if we're really going to be the people of God, we've got to pull some plugs. We really do. We have to pull some plugs. You know, the ideal picture in the world of mom is taxi driver. Right? Get them to school, shove food down their mouths, get them to the ball game, get them here, get them there, get them there, get them there. Hey, when are they with you? When are they with you at home? Do you have time to make house home? Or is it Grand Central Station? If it's Grand Central Station, I challenge you, pull the plug on some stuff. Yeah, if you've got to unsubscribe from all internet service, unsubscribe from all TV service, unsubscribe from cell phone service, say you really don't have to play on that organized ball team because you're probably not going to spend your life playing whatever sport that is. You know that's reality, right? Like 98 point something. I forget. The NCAA had a commercial with Jerry Rice during the tournament talking about how many athletes would not get drafted and spend their careers as professional athletes. Most of them. Almost all of them. So, if that's the case, is there some value in kids playing sports? Yes, there is. But is there value enough where your kids should be missing time at home and family vacations and Sundays and Wednesdays to be on that ball team? No. No. It's not that important. They might think it is, but they only think it is if you think it is. See, Dad and Mom, you're still Dad and Mom. And those children will grow up thinking the way that you teach them to think. And so really, if we're going to be like Mary instead of Martha, some of us need to pull the plug on some things so that we are not dragged about in every which direction, so that we can have the time to sit at Jesus' feet and let all of our being, all of our doing, flow out of our being. Because Jesus said, Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. So much of the stuff that we spend our time doing, it perishes the moment after we do it. I mean, it does. But the time spent at Jesus' feet is eternal. It never goes away. It's always there. That is what will last. It says, the world is passing away in all of its lusts, but he who does the will of the Father abides forever. It really gets down to, there are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God, and there's the kingdom of Satan, counterfeit kingdom. And Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All that we need will be added to us if we seek first the kingdom of God. And to seek the kingdom, first we must seek the King. And so, I both challenge and encourage you, Mom. Take the time to sit at Jesus' feet. And whatever has to be cut out in order for that time to happen, cut it out so that you can sit at His feet. Because at His feet, there is no anxiety. At His feet, there is no cloudy waters. At His feet, there is peace. At His feet, there is truth. At His feet is all that we need in order to get up and go do. In His strength and in His power. And we will do more. It is incredible how much more we accomplish in a given day if we take the time at the beginning of the day to be with Him first and then start our doing. Guys, this goes for us too. But it's Mother's Day, and Martha and Mary, it applies real well to the ladies, but it applies to all of us. You know, some of us, that might mean taking a different job that doesn't require so much time. Might require a pay cut, but you know what? It's worth it. You know? It is. It's worth it. Lifestyle might have to change a little bit. That's okay. That's okay. Everything that the world tells us we need, we don't. We don't need the bright, shiny, new whatever it is that 2 years later is going to be another bright, shiny something that replaced that, and you got to pay for that. You don't need it. Seek first the kingdom. Seek that thing, that good part, which will not be taken away from her. I tell you somewhere else where this comes into play. Just because I've been reminded of it on a number of levels just this morning. Mother's Day is a really, really happy time for a lot of people, and it's a really tough day for others. Because it brings to mind loss. Maybe how things used to be and now they're not that way anymore. Maybe you've lost Mom. Maybe you are a mom and you lost somebody. And Mother's Day can be hard. This is the best remedy for that too. Is to sit at His feet. Because He is the Comforter. He is the Prince of Peace. And in His presence, there is fullness of joy. And nothing else, no one else, can solve that. Nothing that we run here or there doing can beat being in His presence and letting Him bring comfort and healing. So whether you're in the middle of it or whether it was a while back, the answer is the same. Sit at His feet and let the one who is life, the one who is our good, good Father, be your source of strength, be your source of clarity. Because it's a whole lot easier to walk when you can see where you're going and the waters aren't cloudy and they aren't muddy and you can get to your destination. Let's be merry. Let's sit at His feet. Whatever it is, it'll keep. It'll wait. Let's take the time to sit at His feet. And, you know, you can't sit at His feet until you come to Him and you acknowledge that He is God. You cannot sit at His feet as His child and hear Him speak words of encouragement, words of clarity, words of comfort, if you have not surrendered your life to Him. If you're still trying to do life on your own, and you have not yet acknowledged that I cannot do this, I don't have the strength, I don't have the wisdom, I am a sinner and in need of the cleansing and empowering Spirit of Almighty God. If you have not come to that place and surrendered to Jesus as Lord, trusted in His finished work for forgiveness of sins as Savior, you can't sit at His feet. And so I invite you, in a moment as we get ready to respond to the Word, I just invite you, why not make today that day where you surrender to Him? He is Lord. He is Lord. You say, I believe in God. Yeah, okay. Lots of people believe in God. Bible says that the demons believe in God. The demons know that God is real a lot more than we do. It's not enough to believe in God. You must trust Him. You must trust Him and surrender to Him and acknowledge that He is your only hope and that He is your joy. So will you trust in God? Will you trust in Jesus and surrender to Him today? And I invite you to do that. He has made that way. Anybody can come. Whoever will may come. The door is wide open because of the cross. Why not come? Why not surrender to Him? You will surrender to Him one way or another. If you don't surrender to Him now, then you will face Him as Lord and you will bow the knee and acknowledge that He is Lord. You do not want to go there. You really don't. Why don't you surrender to Him now? And for everybody who's here, and we do know Him, let's ask Him to help all of us to spend more time at His feet. The more time spent at His feet, the more effective what we do will be. He is the Good Shepherd. He is the parent that never messes up. Dads, moms, they all mess up one way or another. We're all human. Not our Heavenly Father. He always gets it right. He's always there. So let's just trust Him today. He's good. He's good. Father, thank You for being who You are. Thank You, Lord, that Man's ways don't work. Satan's ways don't work. Yours do. And Lord, I just pray for all of us this morning that you would bring each and every one of us to a deeper place of taking the time to sit at your feet, to cutting out whatever we need to cut out in order to make that happen, so that when we get up and go do what we do, we will do it because you have directed us to do it and because we are following you in doing it. And your Spirit will empower us to do it. And we won't spend our time being dragged all around through muddy water, but we'll be walking with you, the light of the world, directing our path every step of the way. Thank you that you are good. Lord, I just pray right now that you would draw to yourself those who do not know you, that they would really turn to you, that they would surrender to you, not just say, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but they would say, I believe in Jesus and I surrender to Jesus. I trust Jesus alone as the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, I pray that you be that comforter to those who are grieving this morning. And I pray that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, in us, your people, as we sit at your feet. And then get up. Have your way now in us and through us. And thank you for your word. In Jesus' name. Let's invite everybody to stand. We're going to worship. If you need Jesus, come on up. We ask you to come up front because he gave his life publicly for you. And he said, if we're ashamed of him before men, he'll be ashamed of us before our Father in heaven. So we ask you to come up and publicly acknowledge that you're giving your life to Jesus. Also, church, or whoever's here, if you need prayer for anything, spirit, soul, or body, this is the time. I'll be up here. Jeremy will be up here. We'll have others up here to pray with you, to pray for you. And if you need prayer for any reason, come on up. We want to pray with you. We want to let the Holy Spirit have his way because he loves us.